Deuteronomy chapter number 3, book of Deuteronomy chapter 3. And I want to read two verses, chapter 23, and if you would go with me to verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 and 4. We're going to read this, make some sense out of it, make some application in our lives, and allow God to do whatever changes need to be taking place. Would you agree with me this morning that you're not perfect? If you know Christ your Savior, He made you perfect in His eyes, but your wife or your husband know otherwise. And if you're a child, your parents know otherwise, believe me. And all of us can have improvement in our lives, amen? And so when we come to a church service, one of the things we're looking to do, actually there's a number of things. You got to stop and look at this. We sing. Why do we sing? I talk about it in Sunday school. We sing because together we can bring praise to the Lord. Huh? And what was that song on the solid rock I sang? Who's the solid rock? Okay. What's something that's firm to stand on? A solid rock. And so we sang about our standing with Him and how we can be in a spot not to be moved. And we're just singing glory to God as a result of that. And we used to take an offering up, but we don't do that anymore. We still take them, though. Little box in the back, and actually I like us doing that. I'm glad of that, but it's part of worship. Do you know that? To give to God is a part of worship, and then as message is preached, we have an opportunity to learn. And there's two things we want to learn. One is, if you don't know Christ your Savior, you need to learn that you have an eternity somewhere. And if you don't accept Christ your Savior, I know where somewhere is. The difference between heaven and hell is Christ. And so one of the things we want to do, and we'll kind of share that one this morning, but another is that you and I, as God's people, might have something that will help us in our daily walk. Okay? It might not always be something we learn how to do better, but it's an encouragement to do it. How many get discouraged? You get discouraged from time to time? Amen. David, the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Okay? And so one of the things that I'm responsible to do is to facilitate that kind of thing, that we might praise the Lord. And so church service has a lot of things. Another one is fellowship. And that's one of the things we want to do today as we go across the way, just an added time of fellowship. And we can sit down and talk with each other. I don't know what it is, but when you have your mouth full, you can talk better. Okay? I found out a while ago that Nadine said, well, she came into the world talking, hadn't stopped yet. So if you sit down with Nadine, make sure she's got something in her mouth and you can say a few things to her. Amen. Isn't it good? All right, I said I was going to get to it. Verse number 3, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way, when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. We're going to stop our reading there today and just seek the Lord. Father, thank you so much for a privilege to gather together. Thank you for the privilege that we can rehearse the things of God one with another. And I pray that during this time that you might bring to hearts whatever it might be. For some, it might need to be encouraged. Some, Lord, here may need some comfort in their life. Some things have them very troubled, and they need the comfort of the Spirit of God. For some of us here, there might be the need to learn something that will enhance our lives for you, make us a better testimony. Lord, you know those things in each life. I don't, but you do. And so we pray that you would just open hearts to these things, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. When we look here, we find that God does something that seems just almost abnormal. He says, a Moabite, verse number 3, a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now it says this, in their 10th generation. But then it goes on. And that's a term that is really trying to say forever. Because that's what it says as you get down to the end of verse number 3. It says, they shall not enter the congregation of the Lord forever. This is an extremely harsh sentence against them. It's their punishment for a couple of things. One, because they would not be a host to the Israelites. Now, you and I, if we're going to go somewhere, we kind of map out where we're going. We have a pretty good idea, even if you use GPS. And if you know that you're going to drive someplace, for instance, my son lives down in the big town of Ohatchee, Alabama. How many know that place? Besides my family, okay. Ohatchee, Alabama is in the middle of nowhere. If you go to nowhere, it's right next door, okay? He lives on 6-foot road. There's a reason it's called 6-foot road. Okay? 2 horses can walk down it. And anyways, if you're going to go there, you're going to probably need a map. You're going to need GPS. You're going to find out that you can discover that it might take you 14, 15 hours to get there. And if you're like me, you're not going to drive any 14, 15 hours to get anywhere. Friday, I drove an hour up to Lyons, Nebraska, preached a message up there in a fellowship meeting, got in my van and came back and drove another 100 miles. I want to tell you something. 200 miles at my age is like 1,000 miles many years ago. And if it had been much farther than that, I'd have been thinking about a motel. Because we want a place that we can stop at. As we're going down our route, what do? We find a place where we can eat at. We can carry some things with us, but normally folks are going to stop somewhere. We call them restaurants or fast food or whatever it might be, and we're going to get something to eat. Well, they did not have McDonald's in this day. Did you know that? It wasn't there. Listen, I want to tell you this. It might agonize some of you to think about it. I can remember when there was no McDonald's. I kind of wish it was that way again at times. No McDonald's. But how many times did we go there? And we stop and we get something to eat. Well, they didn't have that. They didn't have motels where they could stay at. And so when folks traveled in those days, it's hard for us to understand this, and we see it in other places in the Word of God, they would stop and people would open their homes to them. And they would bring them in. They would feed them. They'd bed down their animals. They'd have some fellowship together, get to know each other a little bit, and the next day they'd get up and they would leave. And if something like that happened in their case, somebody had stopped by their house, they would have done the same thing. I remember so well one year back in about 1950 and 1951. For some of you, that's ancient history, but I can remember very well we had a huge snowstorm. We lived in a farm down by Mineola, Iowa, and my mother worked in Council Bluffs. And she that storm came up in the afternoon, and by the time she was to leave work and so forth, there was 6-8 inches of snow already on the ground. She got about 3/4 of the way home and got stuck in the snow. You know what she did? She went to the farmhouse that was closest. They let her in, they bedded her down, they gave her some food to eat, and matter of fact, they kind of became good friends. Unbeknownst to us, because we didn't have any way to really contact her, telephone lines were down, and we just, you know, there it was. Do you know what happened? Right out in front of our place, somebody got stuck. They came to the house, Dad let them in, he fed them, gave them a place to sleep, and the next day, I believe, helped them get their car out of the snow with the tractor. That was just the way things were. You say, what are you telling us that? Because Moab would not do that for this nation. They said no to them. They would not be their host. And not only that, when you go to the book of Numbers, chapter 22, you find that they go and they hire a fellow by the name of Balaam. He was considered a prophet. And they go hire him basically so he can come and curse the Israelites. Not only will they not let them come into their homes and help them along the way, but they're seeking to curse them. And so we find that God tells us here, because of that action, they could never be a part of Israel. Could never be a part of Israel. Now, they could come and live with them, which some did, but they would never be able to hold office. They'd never be able to legally be a citizen of the nation. They would be illegals, basically. And so here's God's pronouncement of judgment upon them because of that. One of the things we find is there is a woman by the name of Ruth. And there's something interesting about Ruth. Ruth married a man named Boaz. Do you know where Ruth came from? Moab. Do you know where Boaz lived? Israel. And not only that, we find this Moabitess, who was never to be a legalized or legitimate citizen within that nation, yet she married this man by the name of Boaz, and she became the great-grandmother to David, who is in the line of Christ. When you look at the line of Christ and the lineage in Matthew chapter number 1, it talks about David and Abraham and all of these who were a part of that great lineage. You say, preacher, they weren't supposed to come into this land. They were not to be a part of it. And yet this woman becomes one of the great-grandmothers of David. What is the deal? Is there a discrepancy in the Bible or is it something else? And the only determination I can make, because I do not believe there's any discrepancy in the Word of God, God is saying, hey, I want you to see here an example of the grace of God. God is gracious, amen? And God allows some things. I want us to note some similarities. Think about it for just a moment. Do you know that you and I, we are like Ruth? You and I, we turn from God. Her own whole nation had sought to disrupt God's plan for His people. And she was born of that nature. She was born with that sin nature. I have three beautiful girls sitting on the front row, but I'll guarantee you something. They've got a nature that is sinful. You'll not see it practiced a whole lot, but I happen to know them. I do know that they mess up from time to time. And here's something else I know. I know this. These two girls right here, they are sisters. And I know this. And her daddy was my son. I know this. They were taught not to do some things. Why were they taught that? Because it was so natural for them to do that. You and I, we don't have to be taught to sin. We don't have to be taught to steal. We don't have to be taught to lie. It comes to us naturally. Why is that? Because the Bible says this, I was shapen in iniquity. That means in sin. And in sin did my mother conceive me. That's not talking about conception being sin. That's talking about how you and I, we have that sin nature at conception. Interesting. Not only was she in that kind of situation, but her husband had died. And so now here's this woman, Ruth. She is destitute as a widow. And you and I, we are destitute as individuals. You say, well, I'm not bad off. Listen, if you don't have Christ, you are bad off. If you don't know Jesus, you can have all the wealth of this world and go to hell. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather have heaven for all of eternity than to have riches for just a few years. You and I, we're like Ruth. We turn from God. We also find something that's similar, and it is God gave her a message. That message came from her mother-in-law. It's interesting. When Peter was to take the gospel to Cornelius, he hesitated. God had to give to him a vision of a sheet let down from heaven and all sorts of animals in which he said, "Rise and eat." And God was having to show Peter through that illustration that he could take the gospel to the Gentiles. And here's a woman, Naomi, that has a daughter-in-law that was basically legally married to her son. And yet, when Naomi decides to go back to her country, you know who determines to go with her? It is Ruth. And she wanted the God of Ruth. How did she know about the God of Naomi, I should say? How did she know that? Because Naomi had told her about God. He wanted her God to be her, Naomi's God to be her God, Mary's God. I don't think Naomi saw it like Joseph did when he saw his sale of the Egyptians as from God for a great purpose. But God used this time to bring into the land of Israel one who should not be there according to the word of God. Yet God in His grace said, "Bring her in, and I will make her a grandmother, a great grandmother to David." I will tell you this, I think about this messenger, this woman named Naomi, and I think of this, here's a woman that's downtrodden, here's a woman that's discouraged, here's a woman that's lost two sons and her husband, here she is in a foreign country, and the only thing that she can think of is, "I'd like to get back to my own people." She probably didn't really have much of anything to purchase with, and here she is, a woman that is in desperation, and yet somehow God uses her. I want to say that to say this to you. Listen, God can use you as a messenger. It does not matter the plight that you happen to be in life. God can use you. Matter of fact, the best message comes from people who are in dire circumstances. They're going through difficulties, and people know that you're going through difficulties. And yet, in the midst of that, you can say, "Look to God and thank God for what He's done for me." Though it might not seem like He's done anything, and yet we look and we see the blessings of God. Listen, people then can see the reality of your faith. You know, it's easy. It's easy to say, "I got faith," when everything's going well. But I have found in life, not everything goes well. And I can be a better testimony during those times. I think of another similarity here. This woman, Naomi, the messenger that God used to bring Ruth. All she knew was, take her back home. Take her back home. I've had people say to me, "Preacher, what do you say to people? What do you tell people? How do you give them the plan of salvation? How do you talk about the Lord Jesus to them? What do you have to say? How about telling them what you know?" You say, "I don't know very much." Well, tell them what you know. You say, "All I know is I went to church, I sat on the third row, the second seat over, and I got under conviction of God, and I accepted Christ my Savior." Well, then tell them that. Take them to church. Set them in that seat. We can do that. And by the way, if you don't know you're saved, it's going to be very difficult for you to convince somebody else of their need. It's going to be difficult. But Naomi led Ruth, the only place she knew, and the only safe haven you and I know is Jesus Christ. And let me make one other application. God can use the unlikely to bring others to Himself. God can use the unlikely to bring others to Himself. So often you and I, we think, I can't do it. But God can do it. We think we don't have the qualifications. We think we don't have the education. I don't know how many times I heard my mother say, all I got was an eighth grade education. Son, I don't know some of these things. But when I look back, my mother was sharp. She taught me some things in life that I would not have gotten from many other mothers. God can use that which is unlikely, that which is not what we call great. When I look back and I look at folks whom I graduated with in high school, those I graduated with in college, and I'm talking about Bible college in this case, listen, do you realize that most of them that have done the work of God were the B and C students? Matter of fact, one of the fellows that I went to school with at the Bible college, you know, he was before the discipline committee almost week after week. He got to know Dr. Malone very intimately because he was always in trouble, having to explain himself. But 10 years later, when Dr. Malone is ready to retire, do you know who he calls up and this guy becomes the pastor of the church? That ding-a-ling. God didn't pick on the A student. By the way, God can use A students. But too often we think, well, I'm not able to do it. I don't have that. But God can use that which is unlikely. Listen, is it not God who must open the heart? Let me share with you a verse that has been a great blessing to me in the last few weeks. And I share it to you out of the book of Acts chapter 16. It's talking about as Paul goes with, I'm not sure if there was a group of folks, but they go down to the river to have prayer. And the Bible says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, worshipped God, heard us. Now this is interesting. Though she worshipped God, she had a religious name, and yet this is what it says, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. No matter what I say, no matter what you say, it's God who must open the hearts of others. And you can be the instrument. It does not matter who you are, doesn't matter what style of life you are. Listen, you can be that individual to be at the spot you ought to be when God opens the heart. I can't remember how many times I've said dumb things and somehow God used it. It's amazing. Here in a few months, I will have pastored this church 48 years. See, how'd you do that? Nobody else wanted me. Nobody else ever called. But here's what's really, I don't know how to explain this. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. You don't believe this, but I feel down inside very introverted. I've had to basically force myself to be extroverted. Do you know it's hard to get a size 13 up to your behind? But I've had to do that spiritually speaking. I don't know what God's done, but listen, God can use that which seems unlikely. That's what He's in the business of. Study your Bible, and most of them were unlikely. The disciples were not at the top of the class. Matter of fact, they never attended the class. But God instructed them through Jesus. And God blessed them. Amen. So we'll look at a woman that should never have come into this nation. And yet God in His grace allows it to take place, and not just to come into that nation, but to become the great-grandmother to David, who is in the line of Christ. What a great privilege. I'm a sinner saved by grace. What I deserve is to stay in my Moab called hell. But God in His grace put His hand out to me. When I reached for it, He reached down. Because you don't have to reach very far. And He grabbed me and pulled me out of that pit. He'd do that for anybody. He will do it for whosoever will. Whosoever will. Ruth said, I'm going back with you. Did you know Naomi didn't ask her to go with her? She knew about God through her. She didn't even ask her to go with her. Matter of fact, she said, go back to your homes. One did, but Ruth said, no. Your God will be my God. God used her voice, this little destitute woman. Her sons are dead. Her husband is dead. She has nothing. But she has Ruth, who says, I will. Will you? Will you? Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today that we have the privilege to be a part of the grace of God. How marvelous. Oh God, we think of this Moabitess who by Your standard was to never enter in. But You let her. Somehow You set it all up that she might be the great-grandmother to David, who is thought of as perhaps one of the greatest of all the Hebrews. A king after whom Jesus will rule. I pray, oh God, that You might help us see the marvelous grace. For some in this room, they need Christ. For others, they just need the grace of God to whatever it is in their life they're facing. Lord, I pray You'll work in hearts. Whatever the need is, we might take care of it. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I know this, somehow, if you were listening, somehow, I don't understand it, but somehow God spoke to your heart about something. I have found it often it was not even about the message being preached, but some word, some verse struck my heart. Maybe all you need to do is say, thank you, Lord. Maybe you need to say, forgive me, Lord. Maybe you need to say, forgive me to somebody else. Maybe you've not had the joy of God. And you realize, I don't know what it is, but God does. He spoke to you. Let him do what he needs to do. You might need to walk down this aisle and bend your knee up here and pray. And by the way, if you do, you need somebody to pray with you, let me know. Maybe you need Christ your Savior. I'll be right there. You come see me. But take care of it. Amen.